For today, featuring the Bible teaching ministry of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a chapter by chapter, verse by verse study through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of the Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues his message, The Hidden Things, as we pick up in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5. And now, with today's study, here's Pastor Chuck.
Notice how the Lord is going to judge. The hidden things, the things of your heart, the motives. Hey, that is heavy duty. The Bible says everything is naked and open before him with whom we have to do. Oh, Lord, I really didn't mean it. Oh, you didn't? Let's take a look. And God will be able to project what was in your heart and mind as you were doing it on a screen. You remember Ezekiel was taken by the Spirit to the wall, and the Lord said, dig a hole through the wall, now crawl in. And he crawled in, and inside he was looking around and all of the pornography. And Ezekiel said, Lord, that's horrible, all the pornography around here. And the Lord said, I have allowed you to go inside of the minds of the leaders there in Jerusalem. That's what's going on in their minds, Ezekiel. God can see into your mind. God knows what's going on in your heart. And so the day will come when God will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels, the intents, the motivations of our hearts. And then shall every man have the praise of God. And these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos. Now, transferring that over to Apollos and to me for your sakes, that ye may learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up for or against another. Don't become divided over the instruments of God that God may use for his purposes in your life. Receive from all. Be benefited by all. It doesn't mean that you have to turn against one just because you're gaining from another. For who makes you to differ from another? What makes you so different? Why are you so puffed up? What makes you different? Well, I'm not like he is. Well, what makes you different than him? Do you have anything of value? Do you have anything of good? Do you have anything of worth? Where did it come from? You say, well, God gave it to me. Well, then if it was given to you, why are you boasting as though it wasn't given to you? You see, anything that I have that is of any value, the Lord gave it to me. Anything of my life that is worthwhile, it came to me from God. I know in me, that is in my flesh, there dwells no good thing. Anything that is of worth and value has been given to me by God. If it's been given to me by God, then God help me not to go around and act as though it wasn't, like I am somebody, like I have a great ability, or I have a great talent, or I have developed this or that or the other. It's come as a gift from God. And as such, then you can't really glory in it as though it wasn't a gift from God. How many times the Lord has brought this scripture to my heart after something I did turned out good? You know, it's always exciting when something you did turns out to be right, turns out to be good. And occasionally that happens. Now, it is interesting that when it does happen, I like to act like, well, sure, you know, I've got it. I do it all the time, man. You know, not so. If it turns out good, it's the Lord. What have you but what you have received? If you received it, then why do you act like you didn't receive it? Which is quite often the common tendency to act as though it is something that we possess rather than something that was given to us by God. Now you are full. Now you are rich. You have reigned as kings without us. And I would to God ye did reign, that we also might reign with you. Now, Paul is speaking in a satire here. Now you are full, now you are rich, now you are reigning without us. This is the kind of a boast that they were making. But Paul said, I would to God that you really were reigning in order that I might reign with you. For I think that God hath set forth us the apostles last, as it were appointed to death. For we are made a spectacle unto the world, and to angels, and to men. The word spectacle here is a word that has a lot of color, in that when a Roman general would be victorious over the alien armies, he would come back to Rome for the victory march. And the general would come, usually on his chariot, into the city of Rome with the crowds of people lining the sides of the road, heaping their praise and adulation upon him. And he would bring back with him the trophies of war, all of the loot that he had captured. But at the rear of the procession, there would be those poor people that had been captured and were being brought back to be the victims in the arena, being tossed to the lions and so forth. And they were called the spectacle. They were those captives that had been brought back by the general to be sacrificed in the arena to the lions. And so Paul says, you know, I would to God that you did reign. It seems to me that God has made us apostles sort of last, as it were, we're appointed unto death. We're a spectacle. As these people would come by, the crowd would all jeer and hiss and all, and they would take them to the arena and give them to the lions for the sport of the people. And so we are made a spectacle unto the world and to angels and men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but ye are wise in Christ. Again, speaking with satire here. We are weak, but you are strong. You are honorable, but we are despised. Even unto this present hour, we both hunger and thirst and are naked and buffeted and have no certain dwelling place. Poor Paul, if he had only known how to make his positive confessions, he would not have had to be this way. Lack of faith. You know, Paul is still getting it. The Corinthians were giving, all the carnal Christians seem to give it to Paul. And today, Paul still gets it. I had one of these ministers tell me, don't you think that if Paul could have just had victory over his flesh, that he would not have had to have the thorn in the flesh? It's because of the weakness of Paul's flesh. God help anybody who thinks they are more spiritual than Paul or have more on the ball than Paul had. And Paul, speaking of his own personal experience, said, even in this present hour, we're hungry, we're thirsty, we're naked, we've been beaten, and we don't have any certain place to live, no certain dwelling place. And we labor working with our own hands. I don't even make enough from the ministry to be supported by the ministry. I have to work to support my own needs. But being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we accept it. We take it. Being defamed, we entreat. We are made as the filth of the world and are the offscouring of all things unto this day. Now, I don't write these things to shame you, But as my sons, I seek to warn you. So here the heart of the apostle hurt over the attitude of the Corinthians, because somehow they could not accept from Apollos without having to put Paul down. Getting into these little party, petty divisions, the mark of their carnality. And Paul is hurt over the things that they are saying about him, hurt over the divisions that exist. And he said, "No, I don't write these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I want to warn you. For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, you have not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I have begotten you through the gospel." Now look, you may have 10,000 instructors. They may be 10,000 guys that are coming along and laying some of their trips on you. And God help us, there's over 10,000 trips out there. Everybody has to have an angle. I received a letter this week from someone who was questioning about a particular paper they had received, and they sent it to me, wanted me to read it over and give my opinion to them. And this particular paper was this guy's understanding of the prophecy of Daniel and in the kingdoms that were going to arise. He doesn't see it at all as is traditionally accepted and taught by Chuck Missler and every good Bible scholar. But he has his own private little twist and interpretation. No one else has seen this. No one else has been able to come to this understanding. But, oh, he has a special understanding in this particular prophecy of Daniel. And instead of there being four major world-governing empires, there are actually five. And he has the insight into the feet of clay. They are actually the Arab states and so forth. And he goes on to espouse his theory. Yet Peter said, no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. Now, when someone comes along and says, you know, friends, I want to reveal some new truths to you tonight. You know, the Bible scholars in the past, they've just not been able to see this. Why is it that they haven't taught you this? You see, here it is. And they start then giving their unusual little twist. No prophecy of Scripture is of private interpretation. Some guy has some new understanding and truth that has never been discovered before. You can be sure it's wrong. For God has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, and they're all bound up here in the Word. And they're not for any private interpretation. Now, in order to espouse their particular doctrinal belief, though, they've got to put down everybody else that teaches anything else. Anybody who teaches contrary to that immediately becomes a false prophet. There's a fellow here in the area that insist on writing me. He used to come to church here quite regularly. He used to be constantly declaring his love for me. In fact, he came in one day, for God had given him a vision that he was to work side by side with me. But other aspects of his visions were a little weird. And so because I did not concur with his vision that he was called by God to work side by side with me, he then became quite upset and has left the church and now is writing me all kinds of letters, accusing me of being a liar, a false prophet, a Jimmy Jones, a cultist, and you poor people are all being duped, you know, by the Chuck Smith cult, according to his letters. Sad, isn't it, that those who once felt called of God to work by your side now suddenly have revealed to them by God that your teaching is so wrong and all. And of course, they often say, well, Chuck really knows the truth, but he's afraid to teach it. They don't know me because I'm not afraid to say anything that I think is right. But Paul was faced with the same kind of a thing in Corinth. They were putting Paul down. Though he said, hey, you may have 10,000 instructors that have come along and trying to teach a different slant, but you only have one Father, and I begot you into the faith. It's sort of sad to see those that you have brought to birth in their spiritual walk get caught up and carried away with some of these teachers of exotic things. So Paul said, I beseech you, I beg you, be followers of me. For this cause have I sent Timothy unto you, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. Timothy, Paul said in another epistle, was the only one that he had that was like-minded as was he. I have a real empathy for Paul's position here. Having brought these Corinthians to a faith in Jesus Christ, having laid the foundation of Jesus Christ, to see men coming along and building wood, hay, and stubble hurt. Some of the Calvary chapels that have sprung out of our church here, in their desire to develop buildings, facilities and all, have gone to fundraising techniques, fundraising dinners, pledges, marathons, telethons, phonathons, phonythons. And it hurts. It really hurts. Because I have sought to teach them to walk in the Spirit and to trust in the Lord to provide for their needs, for when God guides, God provides. And if you get ahead of God, then the provision isn't there, and it's because you've stepped out ahead of God. Wait upon the Lord. He not only has the plan, but the method by which the plan is to be accomplished, and the funding. And we don't have to lean upon man, nor do we have to turn to worldly schemes or devices to raise the funds for the work of God. And to see them getting involved in pledges and getting involved in promotional dinners and things like this, it really hurts down deep. They have not so learned Jesus Christ. But, you know, others have come along and say, hey, this is the way it's done. You know, this is the way you've got to do it. So Paul was sending Timothy to reestablish him in the truth that Paul had taught to them, the things that Paul taught in every church everywhere. Now, some of you are upset, puffed up, as though I would not personally come to you. Oh, yeah, well, it's so important. Why didn't Paul come then? He said, but I will come to you shortly, if the Lord wills. Now, James said, don't say, tomorrow we're going to do this and that. You should rather say, now, if the Lord wills, tomorrow we're going to do this and that. And so Paul says, I'm going to come to you shortly, if the Lord wills. Good little insertion. We should always live our lives with that contingency. If the Lord wills. And I will know, not the speech of those that are puffed up, but the power. For the kingdom of God is not in the words that a man can say. The kingdom of God is in power. Now, what is your will? Shall I come to you with a rod or in love and in the spirit of meekness? How do you desire that I come? With a rod to correct or coming in the spirit of love and of meekness? So with this, Paul closes his discussion on the divisions that had arisen in the church of Corinth because of the carnality. Now he's going to start moving into some of the more difficult issues and problems that were existing in the church of Corinth. The problems of immorality, the problems of the saints taking one another to the worldly courts, dealing again with the subject of the body of Christ and that desired unity of the body as we move into chapters 5 and 6.
Get ready for a grand adventure through God's Word. Join Pastor Chuck Smith as he brings the story of the Ten Commandments to life in a way your kids will never forget. Travel alongside Moses as he receives the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai. Pastor Chuck highlights key moments from Moses' journey and explains why God's rules matter for us today. Each commandment is simply explained with real-life applications that kids will understand and remember. And as a special gift, this book includes an audio CD featuring Pastor Chuck, plus incredible voice talent like Pancho Juarez as Moses and Ken Graves as the voice of God, and many, many more. Children love stories, and this is your chance to plant God's Word deep in their hearts through timeless Bible storytelling. Order the story of the Ten Commandments today at twft.com or call 1-800-272-9673. That's 1-800-272-WORD.
All things are yours. Learn to draw and to gain from many sources, but mostly from Him. As you take the Word and as you wait upon the Spirit, may your heart be instructed in the things of God, that you might grow up into that fully matured person that He wants you to be. May God be with you and bless you, keep His hand upon your life, and give you a good week. In Jesus' name.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of 1 Corinthians on our next broadcast, as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible, and we do hope you'll make plans to join us. This message has been provided to you by the generous supporters of The Word for Today. For additional information about how you can support this ministry, please visit us online at thewordfortoday.org. There you'll find free message downloads from Pastor Chuck, as well as links to our podcast and other resources to help you grow in your Christian walk. You can also call us at 1-800-272-9673, or you can order a physical copy of today's message by mentioning 1 Corinthians 4. Again, that phone number is 1-800-272-9673. Our office hours are 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. Join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today.
Little country church on the edge of
is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.